I'm going to now introduce Margie Compton. Margie is at the University of Georgia's Walter J. Brown Media Archives and Peabody Awards Collection. She's going to show a home movie from their collection. And Margie loves puppets and long walks in the rain.
I'm so glad you let me play here with the rest of you. This is fun. In the words of Clara Fuller from last year's Home Movie Day, I heard her on the radio online. She said, home movies are like kitchens. Somebody else's are always more interesting. I love that. Big thank you to Dan and Terry and the projection team here, and thank you to the National Film Preservation Foundation for the funding to preserve the parts of the collection that I'm going to show one film from, and to Monaco Labs for doing the preservation work. I've got a home movie blast from the past, so to speak. This was donated in 2001 by a UGA alumni who grew up in Augusta, Georgia. His dad was the managing editor of the Augusta Chronicle and documented several things around Augusta. Not nearly enough because we're looking for more Augusta footage, but this is pretty good stuff. In the tradition of juvenile series fiction, I have a two-part title for it. It's called The Atomic Tourist, or What I Did on My Nevada Vacation. So you can go ahead and roll. He was invited as a member of the press to witness an atomic blast on March 17th, 1953 at Yucca Flat. So he's starting his trip. I believe this is Phoenix. It's a little too big for Yuma, but clearly, since the government was paying for the trip, I thought it could possibly be Yuma, but there's an Arizona flag at some point. It's Kodachrome. Oh, you can tell a guy shot it, because this is like... A lot of footage of mechanical stuff at the beginning. Sorry. There are no kitchens in this film. And no gas appliances in the kitchen. A joke. Duh. I like the cars. I like the shiny cars. There you go. Arizona flag. Woo. I grew up in Prescott, Arizona, so it's I like that flag. I think that's Mr. Harris, because we do get some shots of him later, but I'm pretty sure that's him. He's traveling with somebody, I don't know who. Who's shooting? And I don't believe he would have taken the wife because the kids are back at home. As in the tradition of the day. And I'm guessing this is either their hotel in Phoenix or in Vegas, somewhere around Nevada. Yep, yeah, well, sorry, motel. You are correct. Okay, City Hall. They had to register their cameras at City Hall. There's Mr. Harris, Lewis Harris, which I couldn't figure out why the shot was in there till I went back to the government documents and looked through some of the reports, and they said you had to register your camera. And the strip, more shiny cars. It's nice, isn't it? So it's pretty much a tourist film at this point. And one thing I like about this film is the change from tourism to government documentation. Yeah, I know. Actually, So he was going out to observe, and he was reporting back to the newspaper. And the comments I have are basically taken from his report the next day about the blast. There were, and some of the GovDocs. Apparently, there were about 600 observers present at the blast. This was non-military personnel were kept 7 miles away. This is, I believe, Camp Desert Rock. This is the briefing ahead of time where the chart they're going to show is a chart of the ground zero where the blast will happen and the tactical objective and the distance, the equipment display area, and the news knob where the observers are going to be. So they're getting briefed. And Ruta says that's the Variety Club symbol there, the guy in the hat. Okay, so there's the blast, and the tactical objective is the red cloud. So I guess they're getting a tour of the capability here at Indian Springs. Everything shiny and lined up, ready for inspection. I think actually there are a few women here. There's some women later in the film, which I was really glad to see because Dan pointed me to a recent article in Film Quarterly. Bob Milkey, I think it was, who wrote about the government doc, the government and civil defense films made about the explosions, and that there's a real absence of women in these films. And of course, those are the government versions. So in a home movie, they're actually it's nice to see some women. I'll point them out later in case you can't see them yourself. So I haven't really looked into this a lot, but I'm guessing these are a lot of the flyover planes that bring back cloud samples. And the one warning sign, you know, stay back. And this is I'm hoping that they haven't just flown over and that they're cleaning it off. That this is maybe just a demo. Notice the technical equipment, the brooms, and the hoses. The name of it was Annie from Upshot Knothole, Operation Upshot Knothole. I've got the number, but I don't have it on me. Right, and the civil defense film was Operation Doorstep. Okay, this is pre-dawn. It's 5 a.m. or just a little after 5. Boom. Some people were given goggles and could watch it. Some were told on signal to turn away. There was somebody with a mic telling them to turn away so they didn't see the blast. And 1,000 troops were there, and 20 newsmen were in the forward bunkers. Everybody else was back at News Knob. It was a 16-kiloton blast dropped from a 300-foot steel tower. Apparently, the shockwave was felt in Pasadena, California. And Mr. Harris reported that, quote, several correspondents were unanimous in their opinions that an atom blast was not too bad to take if not taken too frequently, unquote. So I guess it wasn't bad. That's some of the reporters at News Knob. And then going out to either drop people off or pick people up from close to the blast. Harris reported that his little tag to measure radiation came up with a zero, so he, I don't know when the reading was taken or, you know, at what stage that was, but he felt safe. And somewhere back in here, you can see I think that's one of the houses, or is that, yeah, there's one of the houses. Not the house in the middle, but I think that's house number two. And so what they're getting ready to do is They're going to trudge, he said, 0.6 miles through. There's Mr. Harris. Yay. Yeah. So there's his tag, his radiation tag. So they were trying to trudge over to house 2. And that must have been who he's traveling with. To go take a look at it, but it was too radioactive to get very close to. So he was kind of disappointed about that. And this is, he said, this, they were trudging 0.6 miles. See, there's some women. Actually, some women there. Yay. He said the dust was as soft as sifted flour. He called it through the hot dust, and he meant that as radioactive, not just hot heat. And there are the booties. They were issued booties as protective gear. It's in the government documents, I swear. Oh, and here's the civil defense guy there. The point he's making is that if you could roll the windows down and you're near a blast, that your car top won't cave in on you. And his comment was, I think she would have survived this without great injury. And then off they go. And so the... his point in the newspaper the next day, the editorial was that knowledge of the blast and its damaging effects would be of no avail unless Americans were prepared and trained to take advantage of this knowledge that they were gaining. And he decries the lack of interest on the part of most Americans to take civil defense training seriously. And what strikes me most about this is that he was not only making a little travel film to possibly take home and show his neighbors, but that it was a home movie, it was a travel film, and it was also him participating in witnessing and documenting the engine of his death, because he died in the 70s of cancer. So, I thought I'd leave you with an up note.